Hi, my name is Laura Vogt, and I'm the Associate Director for Marketing and Communications in the College of Engineering, and your host for the Not-So-Secret Guide to Being a Berkeley Engineer. This week, we are continuing our exploration of the first-year experience with three transfer students, Paolo Barrero, Lena Elzani, and John Watkins. I taped them at different times, but I combined their interviews into one podcast, and we begin with introductions, starting with Paolo.
Yeah, sure thing. I'm a second-year transfer student. I went to Berkeley College in Southern California. Berkeley was one of the schools I applied to. I chose Berkeley because when I first got in, I remember I got reached out to almost immediately. I had past alumni or even current seniors now that reached out to me and just congratulated me. Along with that, there was also a ton of resources available, and I knew how well Berkeley's networking was.
Yes, I am Lena Elzani. I'm a third year, I just finished my third year, at UC Berkeley, and I'm heading into my fourth year. I'm actually a transfer student, so I'm heading into my fourth year without any experience of being on campus. And my passion lies in electrical engineering, computer science, but I shifted more towards the EE side of that combination. So I'm really interested in computer architecture at the current moment.
Hi, so my name is Jonathan Watkins. I am a senior. I'm going into my fifth year. I'll be graduating in the fall. My major is bioengineering. I am a student veteran. So my experience might be a little bit different. But I am also a transfer student. I came from Diablo Valley College in the Bay Area. My goals after college have actually changed since coming to Berkeley. I intend to go into healthcare and become a nurse practitioner, go to grad school for that. So my time at Berkeley showed me a lot and taught me a lot. And I learned a lot about what I wanted to do afterwards.
What did you find was the hardest aspect of transitioning from community college to Berkeley?
I will say I definitely prepared myself for the worst. I had heard whispers about how, Berkeley's so cutthroat and all of these things. I will say, as now a year into it, it's a very wholesome community. But having heard that and having prepared myself for it, I will say that I feel like my first semester I almost overcompensated. I heard that CS70 is one of the most difficult classes inside of the CS program at Berkeley, which is one of the hardest programs at Berkeley. So in this class, I was spending maybe 15 to 20 hours every week focused on it. And I look back and I really think it was unnecessary. And so I didn't need to put in the amount of effort that I did into that class, as it was nearly 50% of all the hours I was working on homework, period. I will say, though, that I became more cognizant of that the next semester. So I made it a point to make Fridays from 12 to 3 time for me to just get outside. And it was really important to me that I set that time aside, because at Berkeley, you have access to so many opportunities. And if you can think of something, then you can do it.
Well, definitely, I never lived on my own. So just kind of knowing how I would be by myself. I was very lucky that people I was living with, I already knew. So transitioning into that was fairly easy. But definitely being in a new area, living on my own, was a bit tough. And it just took some time to get used to and just get comfortable with myself and my new surroundings.
Definitely the fact that, like, at community college, we're most often used to, at least I was, kind of being the top dog on campus, or being like a 4.0 student, maybe not even having to study very hard for exams or homework. And getting to UC Berkeley, where you're then surrounded by all the other top dogs on other campuses transferring from other community colleges. And so because of that, and because of the competitive curve that's in classes, it's not just like a point-based system where an A is up for grabs for everybody. they really try to determine not if you understand the material, but who's best at understanding the material. So it's quite competitive in that sense. And that was a big challenge for me. That was a huge change.
And was the time management different? How did you find a balance between your classes and your work and having a social life?
Yeah, definitely that took some custom to, just because I didn't really know what the work course load is going to be like compared to what it was at my community college. At my community college, I was able to have a part-time 28-hour a week job, as well as taking full classes. So I definitely was not able to do that at Berkeley, that's for sure. I really just took the time to really figure out what I needed for myself, especially with it all being on Zoom and everyone living at the same house and having multiple people. I never really felt like I could have my own like alone time. So really what helped me a lot was figuring out like some time where I could just be for myself and just be lost in my own thoughts, listen to music, work out. So I'm a big morning person. So I'd wake up before the rest of my house and I'd just relax, make my breakfast, like, and just kind of disconnect, especially with everyone being at home all the time. Like I said, hopefully with in person this fall, it'd be a lot easier to just go outside, go to like a cafe or anything like that. But I definitely still think I will still like wake up early and have that time for myself. But yeah, definitely that took some accustomed to, just because I didn't really know what the workload course load is going to be like compared to what it was at my community college. At my community college, I was able to have a part-time 28-hour a week job, as well as taking full classes. So I definitely was not able to do that at Berkeley, that's for sure. I really just took the time to really figure out what I needed for myself, especially with it all being on Zoom and everyone living at the same house and having multiple people. I never really felt like I could have my own like alone time. So really what helped me a lot was figuring out like some time where I could just be for myself and just be lost in my own thoughts, listen to music, work out. So I'm a big morning person. So I'd wake up before the rest of my house and I'd just relax, make my breakfast, and just kind of disconnect, especially with everyone being at home all the time. Like I said, hopefully with in person this fall, it'll be a lot easier to just go outside, go to like a cafe or anything like that. But I definitely still think I will still like wake up early and have that time for myself.
Yeah, I think actually more so than my freshman counterparts, because as a transfer student, I was commuting. I was living on my own very much like outside of campus housing. I was, you know, feeding myself, paying bills, having to take care of other responsibilities involving like, they range from things like making sure your car insurance is up to date and your car registration is good and your parking permit is satisfied to like kind of satisfying, like making sure your finances are all good and whatnot, because nobody else was really like looking after those things for me.
Mm-hmm.
So it certainly was more of a balancing act than I saw among some of my freshman friends and sophomore friends who would transfer, who would come in as freshmen. But let's see. I think that the thing that helped me the most was kind of my willingness to like ask questions of both faculty and previous transfer students. And my engagement with them through pretty much any sort of medium, whether it be prep or T-prep, or whether it was a club that I joined actually called Stack, which we can talk about, or just, you know, and it's funny, like some of the most valuable information that I gained that helped me balance things and figure things out and become more efficient with my time, they were conversations that may not have even been had in the most formal of circumstances. Like if I met a transfer student at some sort of formal venue like T-prep, but then we become friends and then we go out for food or drinks, you know, the conversation continues. And so that was really important for me to foster those relationships with previous transfer students and feel like I could ask them anything I wanted.
Having that kind of access to opportunities is amazing, but the only issue is that I want to do everything. And so setting those boundaries for myself became really important to me second semester, and rolling back and being like, wait, I can't just do everything. I need to prioritize what I think are the coolest things, and also allocate time for myself so that I'm not scheduling anything from this 12 to 3 period. And I just get to soak in the sun just a little bit because California weather is beautiful.
I like that you figured out what you wanted to change from your first semester to your second semester. And then you can build on that for the rest of your time here as well.
Yes, definitely. I make it a point to try to think of what I could do better for incoming semesters because it's all a learning process. I anticipate that to be the case also for this new in-person semester. There's going to be more that I need to figure out and I'm not going to do perfectly, but I definitely want to be aware of the changes that I want to make so that every semester could just be the best that I can make it.
Were you able to create study groups in your classes? And how did you start meeting people and making those connections in the classes?
So first, I was able to actually make connections through TPREP, Transfer Pre-Engineering Summer Program that Berkeley offers, which was great. That was extremely helpful. It was very beneficial socially wise, as well as professional development wise. So I was able to already know people in most of my courses. For the ones that I didn't know, people were on it on like the whole Discord, Facebook, Slack. So, and they're pretty active on it too. So being able to reach out on that and ask for help was really easy, as well as people would just hop in on calls and just, you know, do homework. So if you were like had free time, you just hop in a call and someone else would be on there probably. And then as well as I know the ESS has a tutoring center. That was also beautiful.
And how did you go about making study groups? I know it's probably a little bit harder in the pandemic, but creating study groups and networking and creating new friendships.
Yes. So there were multiple ways that I was able to create study groups. The first was through organizations that I was in. So I'm in Association of Women in Engineering in EECS. And there, it was really easy to just pop onto Slack and say, hey, anybody taking this class, do you want to be my project partner? And it's awesome to just be able to call, and specifically women in that way, and then get a lot of responses. So I got 8 or 9 people being like, hey, I also want a partner. And then they partnered up as well. And it was amazing. And then another way that I was able to do it was through office hours. It's really amazing what office hours can do for you, because in specifically EECS, you tend to have 2 separate office hours, one with the professor and then one that is by the other course staff who can answer homework questions. But the one for the professor is more specifically for lecture questions. And sometimes those are very empty. So what I decided to do for both semesters is I chose one class that I would go to every office hours for. And there would be days where it was just me and one other person talking to this professor. And in that way, I was able to find people that are very like-minded. And also when office hours had, let's just say, 20 people, which is not that surprising because it's like a 200 person, no more. It's like an 800 person class, but it only had 20 people in office hours, at, like max. You're able to drop a link in chat and just be like, hey, I think we communicated really well. Can we form a study group together? And in that way, you're able to feel somebody out. You also know that it's somebody's hardest class that they're taking if they're dedicating that time to it. And you want to find somebody who wants to dedicate an equal number of hours when you're trying to find a study group. In specifically EECS, the lower division courses will have something called a homework party, and they're amazing. It's like basically different classes will do it in different ways, but they separate a they allocate a certain amount of time for you to do homework where there's TAs there to help you immediately on call, and then they separate it on based on question. And so you can join a group of people who are all struggling with question number 6, let's just say, and you get to talk it out and really hear other people's opinions, and then possibly form a study group afterwards. And as you're hearing people out, there's a point where you reach a consensus that you're all confused, and that's when you call the TA over. And I've met some really cool people through those means, I just gotta say. Well, everybody at Berkeley blows me away, but specifically communities of people that are in office hours, that are in homework parties, or inside of random Discord groups and are active, are just phenomenal people.
Can you tell me a little bit more about how you chose the student groups that you were part of? Or how did you research them or find out about them?
You know, walking into Berkeley, I like went through all of the engineering related clubs and wrote down the ones that I was particularly interested in. But I actually never ended up following up on nearly any of them. I think it all happened in a much more natural way where it was, yeah, so for the organizations that focus specifically on women, that was something that I was looking for. I would say join at least one organization that has to do with you or your identity, because, or your values, because in a way, those are people that have a shared experience, and you'd be surprised on how valuable that is. And so whether it's about race or ethnicity, or if it's alignment through your religion in values, or if it's having to do with gender, I think it's really important to join at least one of those organizations. It's difficult because I've heard statistics where there's like over 800 clubs at Berkeley, and the ones that you hear about are only the surface. All of the ones that you hear about are ones that are, to be honest, overcrowded and sometimes hyped up a little bit too much. But then there are others that you can find right below the surface where it's like, oh, I'm interested in doing computer science and social justice. And you can find a club for that. And that club will have projects that they're working on that align those two. Or you're interested in law and computer science. Or, sorry, I'm interested in computer science. So the ones I know are all going to have that in it.
I felt like because I was close with my transfer cohort, through TPREP and through the ESS, actually, I think, the tutoring center at ESC.
Oh, yeah, the Center for Access to Engineering Excellence.
Yeah, oh my God, that's an excellent place. I know of a lot of transfers that would, like, meet there, study, hang out, and talk. And so there were people that I met there who didn't attend TPREP, but who I would eventually befriend, and then that was awesome. So that was a really good location. And so, but for me, because it was kind of just all word of mouth, like through my cohort of transfer students, our friends, we'd all talk about like, what clubs are you interested in? What are you going to do? And so I think I heard about STAC through them and did digging online. Also, within like the first couple weeks of school, I'm pretty sure there's like Calipalooza, and then there's a bunch of tabling events. And had I not heard about STAC and realized like that was the one I wanted to be a part of, then I definitely would have attended those and gone and like went and like just kind of tested the waters and would have seen what was available to me. through that?
I joined the Dow Construction team, and then I also joined the American Society of Civil Engineers and Chi Epsilon Honor Society. Construction has always been what I've always wanted to get into. So I know during TPREP, Julia, our head department, sent out emails about certain competition teams for our department. And I never really thought about going into competition team. I didn't really know what I thought, but it just said Cal Construction. I was like, oh, construction, like that's what I want to do. So then I joined the construction team, and I already had an internship before that related to heavy civil. So they just kind of put me on their heavy civil team, and that was it. I just joined the team. It was a lot of fun. It was a great amount of time. I also met people through there that were also just highly motivated and loved construction as much as I do. So it was just a great little thing that we had like going on weekly meetings. Construction has always been what I've always wanted to get into. So I know during TPREP, Julia, our head department, sent out emails about certain competition teams for our department. And I never really thought about going into competition team. I didn't really know what I thought, but it just said Cal Construction. I was like, oh, construction, like that's what I want to do. So then I joined the construction team, and I already had an internship before that related to heavy civil. So they just kind of put me on their heavy civil team, and that was it. I just joined the team. It was a lot of fun. It was a great amount of time. I also met people through there that were also just highly motivated and loved construction as much as I do. So it was just a great little thing that we had like going on weekly meetings.
If you could do one thing differently about your first semester at Berkeley, what would it be?
Actually, yeah. You know what? It really came out during COVID, but I kind of suffered from some mental health issues, I think, in my my third semester on campus. Probably while I transferred, but I had only taken care of it in my third semester. Maybe just due to reluctance or whatever, nervous about it. But I think had I gone back to that first semester when I was transferring, and there's a lot of stress and anxiety and things are changing, taking advantage of reaching out to the Tang Center and the CAPS, they have behavioral psychologists that are available to students and are able to help with any sort of like depression or anxiety or things that, you know, everybody goes through. I think that would have really, I think, helped me stay grounded in that first semester, and then that would have just carried on throughout. I think that was a big one. One of the things I'm proud of is that I maintained a physical fitness regime, which I think was really important to, it helped me stay kind of calm and helped me feel really, I don't know, like cool, like a Berkeley student. I feel like, I don't know, that was cool at the RSF. But anyways, yeah, so take advantage of the Tang Center and mental health services.
I definitely think I would have reached out more to alumni, coffee chats, through the clubs and organizations. You get like a network of past people who were part of the clubs. So those were always a good resource. I just never really took the time to do them as much as I wanted to, at least. But definitely, I think I would have joined more, as much as academic clubs are important, I definitely think I would have tried to look at more social clubs, which I will be looking at for the fall. I've heard those are a lot of fun, just to have like meet people out of your little major or little engineering, anything, college.
Or your network.
Exactly. And just experience new things.
Is there anything that you want to add or reiterate?
There's a lot of opportunities at Berkeley. And if you, I do want to hype this up because it's amazing. It's something that I've never had access to in the same way. And even at other universities, it's not this in any way, shape, or form. Berkeley is extremely unique in that if you wanted to go into specifically social justice and computer science, you totally can. And there are going to be clubs for that. And there's going to be internships, or if you want to work on the side at a startup, there's also those as well. And so being open to those kinds of opportunities, and you're going to get those kinds of opportunities through emails specifically and through organizations. So reading them, seeking out and saying yes, applying. That program at Google that I did at the end of April and applied to, I really didn't think I was going to get in. I didn't think it was marketed towards me. And I also, it was during a chaotic time because it's right at the end of the semester and I'm like trying to wrap up a ton of things. And so it was the last thing on my mind. But I become an officer at Society of Women Engineers because I said yes and just decided to, I don't know, throw in my application, see what happens. Same thing with Google and same with so many other things that I can think of. And it's just crazy to me to think that those are just one email away from your fingertips.
What you get out of your Berkeley experience is all depends on what you put into it. And that's a lot for everything that you do. I've tried to put as much as I can, and I definitely think I've gotten as much as I can, especially with everything being online. I never felt at one point I was just a transfer student. I think Berkeley, like you said, engineering department, I can speak for, makes you feel very welcomed. As a student, I feel like I'm a Berkeley student. I don't feel like I'm a transfer student. I don't get looked different because I'm a transfer student. And everyone's gonna be super welcoming. Everyone's super nice. Don't be afraid to ask questions and just meet as many people as you can and just enjoy the time while you're there. I'm already sad I only have a year left.
Good luck. Put your resume forward. Enjoy the food around campus. Get outside. Go hike the fire trails. Take it slow. Enjoy it. Go Bears.
Thank you so much to Paolo, Lena, and John for their insights on transferring to Berkeley Engineering. Next week's podcast is a collection of advice from all of our student guests about registration. And thank you everyone for tuning in and listening to the Not So Secret Guide to Being a Berkeley Engineer. I look forward to talking with you again next week.